السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته يا شيخنا.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا. من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. In continuation of our class on the book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Abu Abdullah Muhammad ibn Ismail Al-Bukhari rahimahullah, we are on hadith number 83. And that hadith occurs under the chapter heading Babu Man Kariha An Yatamanna Mawt Al-Banat. Babu Man Kariha An Yatamanna Mawt Al-Banat. The chapter regarding the one who strongly hates that a person wishes that his daughters pass away. One person would wish that his daughters should die. This kind of a wish is a detested and a hated wish. Babu man kariha an yatamanna mawt al-banat. The one who hates that a person begins to desire that his daughters should die. This no doubt is one of the ways of the Arabs during the times of Jahiliyyah, during the times of widespread ignorance that is far away from revealed guidance, when there was widespread ignorance far away from the guidance of revelation. So in the times of Al-Jahiliyyatul Amma, when there was general widespread of ignorance, we had mentioned that the Arabs even hated to have a daughter. When any of them was to give birth to a child, they would run away first. They would avoid the place where the woman was. And when he hears that the woman has delivered a girl, he begins to avoid the people. يَتَوَارَ مِنَ الْكَوْمِ نَيَنْسُ إِمَا بُشِرَبِ. He begins to avoid the people because he thinks that to be told that he had given birth to a daughter is su, is evil. So some of the people, the hatred makes them begin to bury their daughters alive. May Allah protect all of us. It happened a lot in the times preceding the messengership of the Prophet Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. This was absolutely cancelled and abrogated and removed amongst the Arabs by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the advent of Islam. So, but some of the people who one way or the other still kept their daughters, those who kept their daughters begin to feel uncomfortable with the daughters. They thought that their daughters would be eating from their food, their daughters will drink from their water, their daughters will spend from their risk, from their provisions that they have, and they don't have anything to gain from these daughters. That was the thinking of Jahiliyyah. During the Jahiliyyah, they thought that they don't have anything to gain from their daughters. What will I gain from a daughter, they will think. So they begin to either from the very beginning bury those daughters alive, or when those daughters for one reason or the other are able to survive, they begin to wish that those daughters do not exist. That is, they begin to wish that the daughters should pass away. So to wish that the daughters should pass away is a thing that Islam hates. To not allow the daughter to come alive is a thing that Islam hates. To dislike that we have a daughter is a thing that Islam hates. If we look at the Quran, Allah refers to the children as gifts. He says, يَهَبُ لِمَنْ يَشَاءُ إِنَاثًا. He started with the daughter. Allah gives as a gift inasa, the females, daughters. He gives us as a gift. Why does this become a sin of evil, such that even from the time that the daughter is giving birth to, the people don't like that information? And when they don't like the information. That hatred even makes some people to bury their daughters alive. Those whose daughters survive one way or the other, they hate to care for the daughters. Those who care for the daughters, at some point in time, they begin to wish that the daughter should die. All of these kinds of thinking are thinking of the days of Jahiliyyah. Even though in our own times too, we may find people who begin to detest the fact that they have daughters. But this was also from the ways of the people of Jahiliyyah. So this chapter heading, Babu Man Kariha An Yatamanna Maut Al Banat, is a chapter regarding Man Kariha An Yatamanna, the one who hates that a person should desire that his daughters should die. So this hadith, Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has reported this from one of his sheikhs, Abdullah ibn Abi Shaybah, who said that Haddathana ibn Mahdi. Ibn Mahdi in this hadith is Abdul Rahman ibn Mahdi rahimahullah, and he is reporting from his teacher Sufyan. Sufyan here is Sufyan ibn Sa'id al-Thawri rahimahullah, and Uthman ibn al-Harith al-Rawah. Sufyan al-Thawri is reporting this hadith from Uthman ibn al-Harith al-Rawah. Uthman ibn al-Harith al-Rawah is the tabi'i of this hadith, reporting from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhumah. But it is necessary to mention that not much is known about the personality of Uthman ibn al-Harith al-Rawah. The scholars of hadith are not able to determine whether he is a reliable transmitter of hadith or not. That's why al-Imam al-Zahabi and others, they say that this reporter, la yu'raf, they say Uthman ibn al-Harith Abu Rawah la yu'raf. This is why this hadith is mentioned to be weak, because the personality and the status of Uthman ibn al-Harith Abu Rawah cannot be ascertained in terms of whether he is a reporter, reliable reporter of hadith or not. So he said to have reported this hadith from Abdullah ibn Umar, the eminent companion of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, that anna rajulan kana indahu, that a man who was with Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, anna rajulan kana indahu wa lahu banat, the man was with Abdullah ibn Umar and he had some daughters. Fatamanna mautahunna, this man began to desire outwardly, began to crave, began to wish, make an outward wish while he was with Abdullah ibn Umar regarding the death of his daughters, like someone saying that he wished that he didn't even have daughters at all, or like someone saying that he wished that his daughters passed away, or someone saying that he wished that something very negative that would take the lives of his daughters happened to those daughters. He began to say that outwardly while he was in the companionship he was with Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Faghadiba ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar became so annoyed. This is one proof that the companions were people who, when a thing of sin, a thing of disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was done in the presence of them, they showed aversion to that act of sin, to that act of disobedience. Many times, many of us, perhaps especially on the social media, you find people make very negative statements on the social media, and we don't show any kind of passion. We don't show any kind of interest at all, perhaps, to show that this statement or this action or this thing is something that is condemned in the Sharia of Islam. This is Abdullah ibn Umar, as is in this report, that was reported by Imam al-Bukhari in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, saying that showing aversion, showing dislike openly for what that person had said, wishing that his daughters should have died. So he said, radiyallahu anhu, anta tarzuquhun anta tarzukuhun, when that person who openly wished that his daughter should have died made that statement in front of Abdullah ibn Umar, Abdullah ibn Umar became so annoyed and then asked him in a manner to show disgust and dislike for what this person had said. He said, anta tarzukuhun, are you the one providing for the girls? Are you the one providing them oxygen to breathe? Are you the one growing the food that they eat? Are you the one providing the water that they drink? Are you the one able to provide them sleep? Are you the one able to wake them up after sleep? Because these are the basic issues of provision. Usually when provision is mentioned, we usually think about naira and kobo, thinking that the best and the biggest of provisions is that the individual has naira and kobo with him. But the fact that the individual has sound health, he has what to eat itself. Because if you have money with you, but you don't have anything to buy in the market itself, then we understand that the one who actually provided us all that with which we sustain ourselves is Allah Rabbul Alam. So this makes us understand that it is wrong for a Muslim to wish that his daughters should pass away. Some of the people will say that, oh, there are a lot of trouble in terms of taking care of daughters. And then they begin to wish that the daughter should die. This is a wrong and a negative approach to the daughters as far as Islam is concerned. And it is something that is condemned. Uthman ibn al-Harith Abu Rawah is the reason why his narration is graded weak. But the title heading that man kariha an yatamanna maut al-banat, to hate the one who hates that our daughters should die. One person, a man, has daughters, and then he hates that the daughters, he likes that the daughters should die. We should hate this kind of a person. We should hate this kind of an action. We should hate him for saying that. And we should be very, very stern in the way we condemn that kind of a desire in a person. A person who would unfortunately desire that his daughters should die. This is a negative thing, and from the thinking of the people in the days of Jahiliyyah, may Allah protect us from this evil. It is just for the basic hatred that many of the people have for their daughters, and that is prohibited. What we have rather seen in Islam is that those who take and pay attention to their daughters, to their sisters, and in fact their wives and their mothers, to women generally speaking, as we shall see in this hadith, these deeds are from the deeds of the people of Al-Jannah, as we shall see in this book, inshallah, in Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and as we would have read a few hadiths preceding this hadith. So hadith number 83, it says that Uthman ibn al-Harith Abu Rawah was with Abdullah ibn Umar, and that Anna Rajulan kana indahu, a man who was with Abdullah ibn Umar, walahu banat, who now has some daughters, fatamanna mawtahunna. The man began to wish that his daughter should die. فغضب ابن عمر. Ibn Umar became so annoyed. فقال, and then said to him, أنت ترزقهن. Are you the one who is providing the sustenance for these girls? Are you the one sustaining them? It is definitely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who sustains both the parents and the children. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to provide for us and sustain us. The next chapter, which has hadith number 84, is regarding al-waladu mabkhalatun majbanatun. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said in it, babun al-waladu mabkhalatun majbanatun. Babun, the chapter regarding the fact that al-waladu mabkhalatun majbanatun, al-waladu, the children, al-waladu here refers to both the boys and the girls. When the word al-waladu is generally employed, it would refer to both boys and our girls. Allah used that also in the Quran, in Surah An-Nisa, when he said, yusikum Allahu fi awladikum lizakari mislu haqqil unsayin lizakari, the boys will have mislu haqqil unsayin, the kind of the double, the portion of girls it was talking about inheritance. He said, you see, for Allah, Allah establishes, Allah affirms a law for you regarding your children in terms of inheritance. So he said, awladikum, yusikum Allahu fi awlad, which is the plural of what? Al-walad. Al-walad is the singular and awlad is the plural. The point of reference here is that the word al-walad can mean and refer to both boys and girls. And then after said, Allah said, al-awladikum yusikum Allahu fi awladikum. The next thing he said, with zakari, that is for the boys, Mislu Hawil Unsayyid, he mentioned the girls, meaning that both the boys and the girls are from our awlad. That is the point we are trying to make from that verse. So when here Al Imam Al Bukhari said Al Waladu Babkhalatun Majbanatun, it refers to both our daughters and our sons. That is our children, generally speaking, Mabukhalatun. They may be a means of Al Bukhul Mabukhalatun. The children can be a means of al-bukhul, stinginess. Our children can make us become stingy. We can become stingy because of our children, both boys and girls. This is mabukhalatu, bukhul, from bukhul. The children, al-waladu, mabukhalatu. The children can be a means of being stingy. Majbanatu, al-jubun. Jubun is someone exercising cowardice, someone being, you know, cowardice in his approach. He is the coward, someone who should do something. And then the opposite of being brave, instead of being brave, is coward. Our children can make us become, or can make us show some act of stinginess or some act of cowardice. How? If a person is asked to give sadaqah now, he says, oh, I remember I can spend this money on my children. So it means those children cost that thinking of, oh, I don't want to spend, so that I don't now, instead of spending for the sake of Allah, or instead of perhaps spending on jihad, or instead of spending some, perhaps building a masjid, or instead of donating something, so let me rather spend this and take my children to a holiday in Dubai, as some of the people say. Instead of spending this in the masjid, so let me take it, have the children go on holiday in the US or the UK. So somehow, indirectly, these children have become the means of that stinginess for that individual. Majbanatu, the same way the children can make you become or show some acts of a cowardice. How? The invitation to a lawful jihad becomes something the parent begins to think that, oh, I don't want to go because I don't want to die so that my children will now be alive or something. Some of the times we hear a lot of reports about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam making statements that deserve that we Muslims show a lot of courage. Like when he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, hadith collected by Imam Muslim in his Sahih, that if a person comes and says, give me what belongs, give me your property, say, don't give it to him. He says, what if he fights me? The Prophet said, fight him. Sometimes the people may not want to do this kind of thing. Why? Say, oh, I don't want the man to injure me so that my children will not feel bad. And then he hands over gently his property to the intruder. May Allah protect us from this. So sometimes thinking about our children, they make us show some acts of stinginess, or they may make us show some acts of cowardice. This is the meaning of this chapter heading about our children. And Imam al-Bukhari said, rahimahullah, Babun al-waladu mabkhalatun majbanatun. The chapter regarding the fact that children can be a means of showing some stinginess or a means of showing some cowardice. And he reported hadith from Abdullah ibn Salih. He said, Haddathana Abdullah ibn Salih, Qala Haddathana al-Layth, Qala Kataba ilayya Hishamun an Abihi an Aisha radiyallahu anha, Qala Abu Bakr yawman, Wallahi, ما على وجه الأرض رجل أحب ما على وجه الأرض رجل أحب إلي من عمر. فلما خرج رجع فقال كيف حلفت أي بني؟ فقلت له فقال أعز علي والولد الوطن. حدثنا عبد الله بن صالح الإمام البخاري سكت عبد الله بن صالح وتحدث حديث رفتة لذاتس كاتب الليث. He said حدثنا الليث his شيخ الليث بن سعد المصري reported his hadith from هشام بن عروة. So هشام here is ابن عروة. الليث بن سعد said كتب إلي هشام that هشام بن عروة wrote to me, he sent me a written message an abihi regarding a report he was reporting from his father Urwa ibn Zubayr. We had also repeatedly read a hadith from Urwa ibn Zubayr and Aisha, that is our mother radiyallahu anha, Aisha bintu Siddiq, Siddiqatu bintu Siddiq radiyallahu anha, qalat, she was the one who reported this hadith. So the tabi'i of this hadith is Urwa ibn Zubayr, who is the father of who? Hisham ibn Urwa ibn Zubayr radiyallahu anhu. Qalat, our mother said, qala Abu Bakr yawman. Abu Bakr, one day Abu Bakr al-Siddiq said, wallahi ma ala wajhi al-ardi rajulun ahabba ilayya min Umar. Wallahi ma ala wajhi al-ardi rajulun ahabba ilayya min Umar. I swear by Allah, ma awa ala wajhil ard, there is not on the surface of the earth a man more beloved to me than Umar. There is no man on the surface of the earth, ma ala wajhil ardi rajulun ahabba ilayya min Umar. There is no man on the surface of the earth that is so beloved to me than Umar radiyallahu anhu. This is a statement from Amir al-Mu'minin, Khalifatul Rasuli, alayhi salatu wassalam, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. And we all know Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, his actual name was Abdullah, radiyallahu anhu, the best of all human beings after the Anbiya and the Rusul. After the messengers of Allah and the prophets of Allah, the best of all human beings was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, the one with whose sweat and wealth the foundations of Islam were laid. That person was Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. With his sweat and his wealth, the foundations of all of us, if we are 6 billion Muslims in the world, if we are 10 billion Muslims in the world, our deen is a function of the foundations of our deen were laid from the sweat and from the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq radiyallahu anhu. That was why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam in an authentic hadith, Al-Imam Ahmad has mentioned that hadith in his book, Fada'ilu al-Sahaba, regarding Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, in which the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, ma nafa'ani malun, ma nafa'ani malu Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. The Prophet said so, alayhi salatu wa sallam, ma nafa'ani malun, no wealth benefited me. Ma nafa'ani malu Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, in the manner the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. No wealth benefited me. No wealth benefited my da'wah. He put all that he had, and he used to be in the category of the millionaires in the time. He gave all he had for the propagation of Islam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ma nafa'ani malu, no wealth benefited me. Ma nafa'ani malu Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, in the way the wealth of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq benefited me. There are other ahadith about the virtues of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, like the Prophet's statement sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, anta atiqullahi minan nar. You are the one that Allah has freed. Atiqullahi. You are the one that Allah has freed from the fire of hell. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. In other reports, it says Abu Bakr al-Jannah. Abu Bakr within al-Jannah. Radiallahu anhu. So that was why when the Prophet passed away, Umar radiallahu anhu was saying that anyone who was capable to challenge Abu Bakr al-Siddiq in terms of his eminence
and his superiority over all of us should come out. Nobody did, and they gave the fire to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. رضي الله عنه. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was saying here, Wallahi, I swear by Allah, ma ala wajhi al-ardi rajulun ahabba ilayya min Umar. There is no man on the surface of the earth that is more beloved to me than Umar radiallahu anhu. The scholars say this is evidence that a father should extol the virtue of the people of eminence inside his house. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was saying this to his children, was saying this in front of Aisha radiallahu anha. The heads of homes extol the virtues of the people of eminence, the people of deen, the people of virtue, the people of righteousness. Mention them in your house. Let your children know that the people you value are the people of righteousness. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq gave this declaration. But he not only gave that declaration, radiallahu anhu, he gave the declaration with an oath so that it is understood properly. Wallahi, I swear by Allah, ma la wajhi al-ardi rajulun ahabba ilayya min Umar radiallahu anhu. There is not any human being, there is no man, there is no man on the surface of the earth that is so beloved to me than Umar radiallahu anhu. And this is one major lesson we should learn. Unfortunately, some of the parents, they only extol the virtues of footballers in their homes. Some of the parents extol the virtues of people who go and camp and commit evil, perhaps in South Africa or any part of Nigeria, and they begin to show them on the video. These are the kinds of people some of the parents extol. Some of the parents extol the people who are musicians, people who are entertainers. Don't extol musicians and entertainers in your home, and then you think that your children don't like to be like them. There was a recent event. A professor who was in the past, he used to champion the cause of Islam. We want to establish Islamic State in Nigeria. And then you see the children have heads, like the head of some of the young people who are musicians. So those American pop music musicians and all of them. And then they begin to move around and all of this. So you begin to wonder, what is the connection? Perhaps these kinds of things arise in homes because those are the people that the parents praise. Those are the people that the parents talk about. Those are the people the parents extol. If you extol the people of lower virtues in your home, your children are likely to copy those people. And if you extol the virtues and these same kinds of people, when they talk about the people of Sunnah, they begin to abuse them, they begin to insult them. But when they talk about entertainers and musicians, they begin to extol their virtues. This kind of a thing destroys the interest of the religion in the minds of children. And this is also a thing of virtue too, that if you love and respect somebody, mention it. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we'll come back to this hadith inshallah in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. One of the companions said that regarding another companion, that he loved him so much, he made that statement in the sight of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Messenger asked him alayhi salatu wa sallam, A'alabtahu? Have you informed him? He said, no, I have not. He said, go and tell him. Go and tell him I love you. So behind Umar radiallahu anhu, Abu Bakr al-Siddiq is mentioning his love for Abu Bakr al-Siddiq. So if you love a person, and more so because of righteousness and for the sake of Allah, mention it. So Abu Bakr al-Siddiq was extolling the virtue of Umar in his home. Radiallahu anhuma. Falamma kharaja raja'a. Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, when he went out, he came back. Faqala kayfa halaftu ay bunayya. Oh my daughter, kayfa halaftu? What did I swear upon? He had sworn that there is no man ma ala wajhi al-ardi rajulun ahabba ilayya min Umar. There is no man on the surface of the earth more beloved to me, more dear to me or dearer to me than Umar. So he came back and said, my daughter, what did I swear upon? فَقَالَ فَقُلْتُ لَهُ. Then Aisha radiallahu anha told Abu Bakr al-Siddiq what he had said. فَقَالَ أَعَزُّ عَلَيْكَ. Abu Bakr now adjusted that statement and said, أَعَزُّ, most esteemed to me, most highly respected to me. So he meant that مَا عَلَى وَجْهِ الْأَرْضِ رَجُلٌ أَعَزُّ عَلَيَّ. There is no man on the surface of the earth. أَعَزُّ, most highly respected, most highly held in esteem and full respect and honor, most honorable in my sight on the surface of the earth, like Omar. So that was what he ended the statement on. Then he said, and this is our point of reference, وَالْوَلَدُ أَلْوَتُ وَالْوَلَدُ أَلْوَتُ. As for the children, they are so tied to the minds. Meaning that the children are so tied to the minds. The children, the mind is so connected to the children. But as for Omar, he is the most honored and the most high in esteem, most honorable to me on the surface of the earth was Omar radiallahu anhu. But as for the children, the mind is so connected to them. They are so tied to the mind. This is our point of reference. Why? Because a thing that is so tied to your mind can be a means of you becoming stingy or showing some acts of cowardice. Why? Because the children are so tied to our minds. The mind is so connected to the children. The children are so in the mind of the parents. When the parent is sleeping, he's thinking, is my child sleeping in his room or in her room, as the case may be. When the child goes out, goes to school, the parent is thinking, how is this child? Is he protected? Is he learning properly? Is he okay? Is he feeling comfortable at school? All of these, because the minds are so connected to the children. So the children could be a means of some sort of cowardice and a means of some sort of stinginess. So Imam al-Bukhari brought this hadith under this chapter heading that Al-Waladu Mabukhalatun. The child could be a means of what? Bukhul, stinginess. Majbanatun. They could be a means of what? Cowardice. Why? Well, Al-Waladu Al-Watu. The children are so mostly connected to the mind. This is what this hadith has meant. And it has been employed under this chapter heading because of what we have said. That al-waladu al-watu, the children are so connected to the heart of the parents. So because they are so connected to the heart of the parents, it could make us to become some stingy in some instances because of the children. It could make us become some cowardice in some instances, right, for the children. So it could make us show some acts of stinginess. It could make us show some acts of cowardice. And not bravery. They are natural with a lot of people. We only have to moderate them and be sure that we provide the children their rights at its time and give out what is appropriate at its time and go out for jihad at its time, putting everything in their right places. And that is the meaning of wisdom. Hadith number 85. We can quickly also take that hadith for the class today, inshallah. In it, Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, حَدَّثَنَا مُوسَى قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا مَهَدِي إِبْنُ مَيْمُونَ قَالَ حَدَّثَنَا إِبْنُ أَبِي يَعْقُوبَ عَنِ إِبْنِ أَبِي نُعْمٍ قَالَ كُنْتُ شَاهِدًا إِبْنَ عُمَرَ إِذْ سَأَلَهُ رَجُلٌ عَنْ دَمِ الْبَعُوضَةِ فَقَالَ مِمَّنْ أَنْتَ فَقَالَ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْعِرَاقِ فَقَالَ انْظُرُوا إِلَى هَذَا يَسْأَلُنِي عَنْ دَمِ الْبَعُوضَةِ وقد قتلوا ابن النبي صلى وقد قتلوا ابن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول هما ريحاني من الدنيا. قال الإمام البخاري رحمه الله حدثنا موسى قال حدثنا مهدي بن ميمون قال حدثنا ابن أبي يعقوب عن ابن أبي نعم قال كنت شاهدا ابن عمر إذ سأله رجل عن دم البعوضة فقال ممن أنت فقال من أهل العراق فقال انظروا إلى هذا يسألني عن دم البعوضة وقد قتلوا ابن النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سمعت النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يقول وما ريحاني من الدنيا. الإمام البخاري رحمه الله reported this hadith from his sheikh. He has also repeatedly collected hadith from him in our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, Musa. This is Musa ibn Ismail At-Tabuzaki Abuman Abu Salama rahimahullah. He said حدثنا مهدي ابن ميمون قال حدثنا ابن أبي يعقوب عن ابن أبي نعم. So ابن أبي نعم is the tabi'i of this hadith. ابن أبي نعم, ابن أبي نعم, he is the tabi'i of this hadith rahimahullah. He is the one reporting from Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma. He said kuntu shahidan ibn Umar, I was with ibn Umar, I witnessed ibn Umar, I was a witness in the situation with ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma, when a man asked him, إِذْ سَأَلَهُ رَجُلٌ عَنْ دَمِ الْبَعُوضَ, when a man asked him regarding the ruling of دَمُ الْبَعُوضَ. الْبَعُوضَ amongst the Arabs are those small insects. Any small insect that bites could be referred to as بَعُوضَ. So sometimes you see them refer to mosquitoes as بَعُوضَ because it is small and then it bites. That's what we call also sandfly. I don't know its name in English more than this, but it's usually in the areas that are sandy. They are so, so, so small, and they bite. This is also from the aspects of a ba'udo. So it means if we interpret ba'udo to refer to fly, we are only restricting the meaning of a ba'udo. So when we say gnats, G-N-A-T-S, it should be a most appropriate word because the English people also use this word gnats, G-N-A-T-S, to refer to small moving insects, flying insects that also do what? That bite. So he came asking Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma about what is the ruling on the blood of, for example, a fly. Someone comes to a sheikh, ya sheikh, what is the ruling on the blood of a fly? Is it najis? If the blood of a fly touches my skin, is it najis? Or if the blood of mosquitoes, for example, someone beats a mosquito on his skin and the blood spills on him. The meaning if it's najis is that it becomes compulsory for him to wash it off immediately. If it is not najis and he chooses to wash it off, he's only washing it off by way of being neat and clean. By way of being neat and clean. But if it were najis, washing it off is an act of worship. It falls under an obligation that a Muslim should observe. So this is the difference between the two rulings. So imagine that a man comes and starts asking the sheikh, Fadilat al-Sheikh, what is the ruling about the blood of mosquito? And this is a person who doesn't observe salah. This is a person who perhaps eats pork. This is a person who doesn't care about the blood of human beings. Imagine, for example, may Allah protect us all, a kidnapper asking about what is the ruling concerning the blood of mosquitoes. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu asked him, Mimman anta, where are you from? This is evidence that sometimes some of the people will ask a learned person a question. He has not answered the question. He can now ask that person some questions so as to know the sort of answer to give to his initial questions. Some of the people become annoyed. Look at Ustaz. I'm asking him a question, he's asking me a question. This question he is asking you is to make him be able to situate you and then situate the answer that he will provide you. Many of the people don't like it. They think that it is demeaning, and it is not demeaning at all. You ask the learned person a question, he can ask you another question. By way of trying to understand the basis for your question, which will help him guide you to an answer that is suitable in your own condition. So don't be annoyed. If you ask somebody a question and then he asks you a question, by way of being able to ascertain the foundations for your question and being able to ascertain an appropriate answer for your for your question. So Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, he asked the man, Mimman Anta, where you are a man from where? Mimman Anta, from where? Where are you from? Faqala min ahli al-Iraq. The man said he is from amongst the people of Iraq. The people of Iraq in the early times in the history of Islam were known for serious disturbances. Those people who came and laid siege on the Prophet's masjid, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, during the time of Uthman, the bulk of them were from Iraq. The bulk of them were from Iraq, which at that time was Kufa and Al-Basra. The bulk of them came from these two cities, and some of them followed them also from Misr. So Ahlul Iraq, like Al-Imam Malik would say, radiyallahu rahimahullah, he says, he would say, Ahlul Iraq, Ahlul Nifaq. The people of Iraq are largely from the people of hypocrisy. And the scholars of hadith believe that if a hadith came into Iraq, when it is going out, they would have fabricated 199 more hadith regarding it with the same isnad. They were known for fabrication of hadith, Ahlul Iraq. And they were known for a lot of fitna in the early days of Islam. Ahlul Iraq, we are known for a lot of fitna. We will not forget that it was because of their fitna that Ali ibn Abi Talib moved from Medina to Kufa. He moved from Medina to Kufa so that his presence in Kufa will help calm them down and make them follow Islam as is appropriate. But Ali ibn Abi Talib himself was killed there. Radiallahu anhu. May Allah protect us all. So Ahlul Iraq, they are known for a lot of fitan, the people of Iraq. So when he said this, Abdullah ibn Umar understood where he had come from. He had known that this man had come from a group of people who are used to fitan. And many of the times, people who are used to a lot of fitan, they will be stringent, they will be tough regarding very minor issues. It is from the ways of the people of fitan. They become tough about subsidiary issues, but they are lax regarding very serious issues. From the ways of the people of Fitan is that they are lax. These kinds of individuals are lax. They are found wanting when it comes to very, very serious issues. That's why even in our communities, you find a person criticizing the next person over an issue. And he is upon a deviation that is worse. He's upon a serious issue of defect in his religion. But he's finding fault. He's blaming someone upon something that has a basis. You can imagine someone who is abandoning a lot of faraid, and he sticks to some of the sunnah, like the sunnah of placing the chewing stick in our pocket and employing the chewing stick before the salah. A person could be so serious about this. He wants to clean, rinse his mouth before wudu. And then he will rinse his mouth again using the chewing stick before salah. And then he places the chewing stick in his pocket. These are from the established sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad, alayhi salatu wasalam. But this man does not know how to perform wudu correctly. He wants to rinse his mouth before wudu using chewing stick. He pays a lot of attention to the chewing stick, but he has not paid attention to learning about wudu correctly. He pays attention to the chewing stick. He has it with him before iqama. He uses the chewing stick as the muadzin is making the iqama, but he does not know how to perform salah. So this one happens a lot, sometimes because of ignorance, and sometimes because the person had become someone who is stringent and who goes overboard in the matters of the religion. So you find him wanting in very serious matters, and then he sticks to those subsidiary matters and goes overboard even in his sticking to them and in condemning those who have not stuck to these matters. This is from the way of the people of fitna. This man is asking about the ruling of mosquito, the blood of mosquito, while the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was killed, Hussein, by the same group of people. Oh, you could ask of the blood of mosquito, but you were not asking about the blood of the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of the scholars who have explained this hadith also say that this is evidence that sometimes a person may ask a question and he gets an answer that's more important than the question that he has asked. A person may ask about, excuse me, like we have given us an example. What is the ruling about rinsing the mouth using the chewing stick before wudu? What is its ruling? And then you can ask him, what is the ruling of saying Bismillah at the beginning of wudu? Describe the wudu of the Prophet to me. You can ask him that question. Or you can even start with the wudu first before you come back to answer his question about the ruling of chewing stick. Yes, that chewing of chewing stick is a sunnah that is connected to the wudu, just like it's also a sunnah that is also connected to salah. But the wudu itself, knowing how to correctly perform the wudu itself, is more important than that. Because when the wudu is not appropriately observed, the individual does not, the salah becomes something that is also faulty or completely obliterated. So this is how to handle this case. This man was asking about the blood of mosquito. Ibn Omar was telling him that, oh, how about the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his grandson, Al-Hussein, that you people had slaughtered. Do you know the value of his blood? So Ibn Umar said, radiyallahu anhu, unzuru ila hadha. Look at this man. Yas'aluni an damil ba'udha. He's asking me about the blood of mosquito, about the blood of little flying insects, hasharat, that could be killed without any issue regarding them. Waqad qatalu ibn al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And these people were those who had killed the son of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then he said, Samitu Nabiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam yaqul. I had heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say that, Huma rayhanayya min al-dunya. Huma, that is Al-Hasan and Al-Hussein. It was Al-Hussein who was killed by the people of Iraq. But the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Huma, both Hassan and Hussein, rayhanayya min al-dunya. They are my two sweet-smelling flowers in this dunya. Sweet-smelling flowers in this dunya. They are my two sweet-smelling flowers in this dunya. This is the point of reference in this hadith. It means they are a thing of value to me. They are a thing of honor to me. They are a group of people that I show a lot of honor and respect for. They are a people who are so dear to me. I take them very, they are very, very dearly to me. This is what will now make us understand the chapter heading. That when something is dear to us, when something is beloved to us, that same thing can lead us to al-bukhul, and it can lead us to what? Al-jubun. Al-bukhul is stinginess. Al-jubun is what? Cowardice. When sometimes it is our wives. Our wives are so beloved to us. That love for our wives may lead us sometimes to stinginess. It may also lead us sometimes to some acts of cowardice. We should try to be sure that everything goes in its place. We must not allow the connection of what we love or the people we love to now make us begin to hold back when we should move forward, or move forward when we are supposed to move backward. Every matter and every situation and everything should be given its right priority, and they should be placed in their right places. This is the implication of being wise. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam referred to Al-Hasan and Al-Hussein as a sweet-smelling flower. Some of the scholars have now asked, does it now mean that the Prophet used to smell his children? Yes, the Prophet used to do so. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari rahimahullah has reported a hadith in which it was said that أخذ رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم إبراهيم فقبله وشمه صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. The Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام أخذ إبراهيم. He took his son Ibrahim from Maria al-Qibtiyah. He took his son Ibrahim, فَقَبَّلَهُ. He kissed this boy, وَشَمَّهُ, and started to smell him. And wallahi, parents, when you start this, you will actually be feeling some sense of deep comfort. when you kiss your sons, when you kiss your sons, when you kiss your children, and smell, you hold them to yourself, especially when they are still just kids. When you hold them to yourself, you feel a lot of comfort, and you feel a lot of sweetness deep down inside your mind when you hold your children to yourself, when you kiss them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam told this. Many of the parents today, we go out in the morning, we come back in the night. Some children don't even know where has daddy been today. An entire day would go and the child would not even see his or her father. This is not good enough. Let us pay good attention to our children and paying physical attention to them. The chapter heading is about the fact that our children, both boys and girls, could be a means of stinginess. They could be a means of stinginess for us. They could be the reason why we show some acts of cowardice. Why? Because they are a group of people that are so dear to our minds. So they could lead us to al-bohol and what? Al-jubul. So what this means is that what we should do is to make sure that we place everything in its right place. So this hadith was reported by Ibn Abi Nu'min. Ibn Abi Nu'min, rahimahullah, was from amongst the Tabi'un, and his name is Abdurrahman al-Bajali. Abdurrahman al-Bajali al-Kufi. Abdurrahman al-Bajali Abu al-Hakam al-Kufi. He said, Kuntu Shahidan Ibn Umar. I was a witness. I was looking at Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu. Ib sa'alahu rajulun an damil ba'uda. When a man asked him about the blood of little flying insects, what is the ruling? Is it najis or not? Faqala mimman ant. The companion asked the man, where are you from? Faqala min ahli al-Iraq. The man said, I'm from the people of Iraq. Faqala unzuru ila hada. Ibn Umar then said, look at this man. Yes, Aluni and Damil Ba'udah. He's asking me about the status of the blood of little flying insects. وَقَدْ قَتَلُوا إِبْنَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. They are the same people who had killed the son of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, referring to that as his grandson. سَمِيتُ النَّبِيَّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. That person you killed, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying regarding him, Huma Rayhanaya Rayhanaya min al-dunya, Huma Rayhanaya min al-dunya, Hassan and Hussein, they are my two sweet smelling flowers in this dunya. This goes to make us understand that children are so dear to our hearts, and they could be a means for an individual to be stingy sometimes. They could also be a means for an individual to be coward sometimes. But what is appropriate is that we should place everything in its place. In the areas where we are supposed to hand out wealth, don't hold it back. In the areas where you are supposed to show bravery, don't show cowardice. I think it will suffice for us to stop here today so that we can take a few questions, inshallah. Tomorrow we'll continue from the chapter about the virtue of placing our children on our necks. What we just read, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to kiss his children, and he used to smell them, put his nose around them, meaning that he used to hold them to himself, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But for many of us, this is not what we do. So inshallah, we'll come back to these issues regarding our children and how closely we need to pay attention to their upbringing and their comfort and the things that delight them. May Allah make us understand better than we have tried to explain. So inshallah, we could go on with the questions about Yusuf if we have.
This one says, when was the statement of Abu Bakr regarding Umar made? During the last time of the
regarding Abu Bakr was made, radiallahu anhu, at the demise of the Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because when the Prophet was alive, of course, it's a thing of consensus. The most beloved person to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq that Allah even said, because Allah referred to Abu Bakr al-Siddiq as the Sahib of the Prophet Muhammad. alayhi salatu wasalam, regarding the story of when they took solace in the cave. And there are other reports regarding that. So that statement clearly was made after the death of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Now.
Now, JazakAllahu khairan.
Ameen wa antum.
This one says, can one buy educational toys that have musical instruments for the children or take it as a gift?
If you take toys, it is lawful for children to play with toys, even if those toys may be toys that look like human beings. As long as they are toys, it is lawful for children, especially the girls. Yeah, it is lawful for them to play with dolls. So, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to allow Aisha radiallahu anha to play with dolls. He even used to engage her when she was playing with one of her dolls and she placed it under a seat. He was asking her about the doll. And there's that story, that hadith occurs in Sahih al-Bukhari. The point of reference is that it is lawful to play with dolls, even if those dolls appear like human beings or animals, or appear like real-life animals. It is lawful to play with dolls. The second part of that question, what if these dolls have musical instruments? Remove the musical instruments, because as the children play with those dolls, music sink, they sink into the mind. They sink into the mind of the children. Sheikh Bakri ibn Abdullah Abu Zayd, he mentioned in his book Hilyatu Talib al-Ilm, he says, "Washubhat khattafa." Washubhat. And shubhat, washubahu khattafa. Shubha, ambiguities, things of misguidance, khattafa. They are so attractive and easily they penetrate into the mind. So let's avoid this kind of a thing regarding our children, regarding the musical aspect of them if you accept those gifts. To accept a doll gift for your child is lawful. To buy and give is also lawful. As far as it is children playing with it, it is lawful. But when it's lawful by music or musical instruments and things like this, the musical aspect of it should be removed. If it's difficult to remove it, put it away from your children. Look for dolls that and toys that do not have a musical instrument. May Allah protect us.
Ameen. JazakAllahu khairan. Ameen. This one says, what is the ruling on joining Islamic groups for a person that who attends Madrasa and Halakot but is being compelled by the parents to join an Islamic group?
Well, we we're in a generation, we're in a time where the biggest duty we owe ourselves and the rest of the people is the duty of enlightenment and education. The major job, the major duty we owe ourselves and the rest of the people is the duty of enlightenment. Many of the people are not enlightened about many aspects of Islam. So what I adjure the child to do is learn about the rulings of joining parties in Islam, and that is not lawful. Because these parties, they are ahzab. They don't have any name. The societies, as we have them, they are ahzab. They are parties. And Allah told us about a major trait of parties and parties and their groups and societies and associations. It says, "Kullu hizbin bima ladayhim farihun." Every party is seeks superiority, is joyed, is delighted by what it does. So if you have societies, as we have in the community, one society tends to say, "Oh, we are better than Nawairu, we are better than Najib Nawairudi." And Saruddin thinks, "Oh, we are better than Shaksudi." The other deen too says, "Oh, we are better than that deen." And you begin to see this kind of tanafus. So this is what Allah, this kind of tanafus, competition and mutual contest. You would find in some areas, one group is here. And the group that emerged from it is also here for Salatul Eid. Why not you all perform the Eid together? So this is no other than from the aspects of partitionship. It can happen also regarding speaking to our ustaz and sheikhs. some of the people will only accept a matter if it comes from a particular sheikh or a particular ustad, no matter how much evidence is employed to establish the point. Some of the people will say, oh, it is not my ustad that has said it. This is also from the aspects of partisanship. Apart from the societies and organizations that are registered and known, your ustad and your sheikh too could be partisan regarding you, or you could be partisan regarding him. So let us watch partisanship. When grouping, being together, now involves that when the truth is established from one group of persons or a particular person, it is rejected upon, is not in our group, is not in our jama'ah, as they say. All these kinds of attitude are attitudes of partisanship, and Allah has prohibited them in Islam. He says, وَلَا تَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُشْرِكِينَ. Do not be like the people of polytheism. Don't be like polytheists. مِنَ الَّذِينَ فَرَّقُوا دِينَهُمْ وَكَانُوا شِيَعًا. These are the people who divided their religion and they became groups and parties. كُلُّ هِزْبٍ. Every party, every group, every society and association begins to pride about what it does. We in our own group, in our own JMC, we am a member of JMC, I'm a member of ZMC, and all of these in our group, our ustad says this. This is partisanship and it is wrong. It is not from the aspect of Islam. I adjure the brother or sister, whoever would have asked that question, please try to read about the about parties and association and partisanship. When you read about it, when you read about that and your money, present it to them. Let them know what you have known, so that your discourses with them and your rejection of them compelling you to join those societies will be something that is knowledge-based. So when you are rejecting, it should be clear that you are rejecting upon a particular conviction that you have. Allahu A'lam.
And
I think we can stop here, inshallah, today. May Allah protect us and preserve us till tomorrow.
Assalamu alaikum.
I mean, yeah.